Tonight, we want to talk about the family. And like I said, I went to SUNY yesterday. And our families need help. We need women who will biblically raise their children. We need fathers who will first be there, and secondly, be in the Word of God and make a difference to their families. We need children who are brought up in the church, who are taught the Word of God, and who are encouraged to live the Word of God, even when it's difficult, even when the people around them aren't living that way. And so as we start this evening, let's read together Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 25. Colossians 3, 18 to 25. Where it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Let's begin this evening with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have given us this word of God, and it has instructed us on how our families ought to be run, and our relationships with our wives, with our husbands, with our children, with our bosses, with those people who are over us. And Lord, I pray tonight as we look into the Word and as we look at how we're going to live as a new man and as we are going to live new in our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with others, that you'll help us to live in accordance with your Word. For it's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight we want to talk about the family and our relationship with those that God has put over us. And I thought tonight about examples that I could use. I thought about, you know, talking about my relationship with my father, talking about people that I have seen, reading about historical figures. But as I was studying, as I was reading a couple of different places about this passage of Scripture and praying about it and thinking about examples, it comes back to what's been the theme of this book as I've been going down through. I've been saying all along that Colossians is the most Christ-centered book of the Bible. It's all about Jesus Christ. Paul is constantly bringing people back to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And so I thought, for example, of the relationships that we are to have and to look for as wives, as husbands, as children, as fathers, as bondservants, our example is Jesus Christ. And when he came to this earth, he taught us how we ought to live. He taught us how we ought to have these kinds of relationships. And so as we go to the examples of what we're going to do as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as children, obeying our parents, our example is Jesus Christ. And I think that's so, so, so important. And so we need to start right at the beginning. The problem in the church here is that the world had been creeping in. False teaching had been coming in and making its way into the hearts and lives and the teachings in this small church. And Paul wanted to get back to the to the foundation that it needed to be, and that was Jesus Christ. And he lets us know that spirituality is not a difficult thing. It's not something high and lofty that no one can attain except for a select few. It can be attained by anyone. But its foundation and its roots are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you saying to him, Jesus Christ, I have decided to let you be the king of my life. For the place where you to reside in my heart is on the throne of my heart. And that's what I'm going to do. And so today, as we begin looking at how we ought to interact with the people that God has entrusted with us, our relationship to Christ is first and foremost most important. Because all of these relationships can break down if Christ is not the center. The first verse in chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Ever since the time I had gotten out of Bible school until today, I've had the opportunity to speak, to go around and speak to different churches, to fill pulpit supply, to teach Bible classes at school, to speak to children, and I have always thought, this is a verse that I can avoid, and I don't have to talk about. But in going through the book of Colossians, this is here, and it's time that I talk about something I might not want to. I might not feel like a good authority on how to, because I've never been a wife, I never don't plan on being a wife, and I don't know how to do a very good job at that. And so as I look at this verse, I approach it with caution. But I can remember listening to a girl one time, and a couple of other Christian girls were sitting around talking to her, and she said, "That Bible," and I always like, "That Bible, I know where your thoughts are already. You have some preconceived ideas. That Bible is all about men. And it just puts women down. And it's just all about men being number one and women being number two." And I had to step in at that moment. Maybe I shouldn't have. And I said, "You know what? I don't think that's the case. Actually, I know it's not the case." And you could go to a verse that has been misused and abused many, many times. And you could pull out your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, and it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And I'm sure that verse has been abused to say that, you know, a wife is to be the servant of the husband. I don't see that there. We could take that verse and we could say that a wife's place is to be under, number two, and beneath, below her husband. But I don't see that in this passage. I see a relationship between a husband and wife that God ordained at the beginning of his creation, where he wanted to give his creation, this man, a slave. Is that what the purpose that God created woman for? Be careful with your words, men. No. No. Did he give mankind some slaves? Yeah, he did that on day six, didn't he? Before he created man, when he gave him things like horses and oxen, cattle, beasts of burden. Is that what he created the wife for? Absolutely not. He created her as a helpmeet, as a partner. Someone to walk alongside of him and to be there as a companion for him. And so when we read the Word of God, I don't see a book that, you know, men would use to put women underneath their foot. And I don't think that's the case here. The word submit there means to recognize God's ordained authority. And in any institution, in anything that you do, you need an authority. Pastor Baker has stood up here many times and he's talked about me and he said, you know, Scott is the associate pastor. Not assistant pastor, he's the associate pastor. He's coming alongside of me. You want to know what, though? The truth of the matter is, the way I look at it, he is the authority. And if there's a question in the church, I'm going to go to him. And I'm going to ask him for advice. And I'm not going to try to step over him. I think that's very, 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 very important. That he is the authority. He has a lot more experience dealing with all of you than I do. And I need his help. And what I want to do is I want to support him. And when I see that, I don't see that as me being his slave or the person that is under him for him to come behind me with a whip and to tell me what to do. And I don't think that that's what God had intended for the relationship between a husband and a wife to be. As we look at this passage, the next word that we have there is when we see, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. That word fitting means as is proper or appropriate. And I think that's something that we have to take into consideration. The relationship between a husband and a wife ought to be proper and appropriate. That man should not be using his status as the man as something to lord over that woman and to put her down and to ruin and discourage her. God created her as a partner, as a helper. And while she is to recognize the authority that God has put in, that does not diminish her role in any way, shape, or form. And that does not mean to say that the man is number one and she should just follow along and be unquestioning and not speak up and be a part of that. It's to be a partnership, working together. And I really, in talking about these verses, you can't look at verse 18 without looking at verse 19 also. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. I think in this passage of Scripture, in any passage of Scripture, we talk about the relationship of a husband and a wife. The wife is given a responsibility to submit to her husband, to follow that God-ordained authority in an appropriate way. But you know who's given the bigger responsibility? Is the man. To love your wife. And over in Ephesians, it's elaborated on a little bit more, as it says in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. If a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, when I think about what Christ did for the church, and when we say that Christ ought to be sitting on the throne of our hearts, and he ought to have that special place in our heart, The wife ought to have a special place in her heart for her husband. But what did Jesus Christ pay for the church, for his bride? Everything, right? He gave it all up. He left heaven to come down for his bride. He loved his bride so much that he would step out of heaven, come down to this earth, live a life that he didn't have to, and die for his bride. And so if the husband wants his partner to walk alongside him and to appropriately submit and recognize that God ordained authority, he had better be the husband that God has asked him to be, and to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and be willing to make those sacrifices. When you think about what God has maybe asked the husband to do, to sacrifice for his wife, does it even compare to what Christ sacrificed for us? Husband, loving your wife, it might mean giving up a time with the guys for your wife. Yeah. And that's what God wants you to do, to sacrifice. Christ was willing to step out of heaven, to leave his Father's throne, to pay for the price of his bride, and we ought to be able to at least sacrifice maybe an afternoon with the guys. Maybe that means in order to be a husband that is willing to have a wife that would have that special relationship with, maybe the football game needs to go off. Maybe it means that we ought to step up and do our part and to help and to come alongside and to really make this a relationship that is Christ-centered. Maybe getting up early in the morning and praying with your wife. Spending a time to go on a walk with her. And I think probably if we were to all be honest, every single one of us in the room, husbands, wives, and we were to talk about and to think about this subject, and we were to think, if Christ is the example of how I ought to be as a wife to my husband, or as I as a husband ought to be to my wife, there's probably some things I ought to work on. There's probably some things I ought to do. Maybe I need to think about what Christ gave up for me, and I ought to live like that in my relationship with my spouse. If Jesus Christ was willing to hang on a cross and have that unconditional love, the cost for a good relationship with my spouse seems insignificant compared to what Christ was willing to do for us. The next thing that Paul talks about here in Colossians chapter 3 is the relationship between children and parents. The example that we have here as we look at this, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. If children are to obey their parents in all things, the example is Jesus Christ, who served his Father." I love looking at Christ as the example for these types of things. In John chapter 8, the religious leaders brought a woman to Jesus Christ and threw her at Jesus' feet. She was caught in adultery. And they asked Jesus, what should be done with this woman? Should she be stoned? And we know what happens. Jesus writes in the sand and he said, and he without a word makes an impression and then says, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And after that, he turns to the woman and says, where are your accusers? And he proclaims to her, go and sin no more. Boy, that got under those guys' sins, under those guys' skin. And they weren't very happy with Jesus. And so they, like they always did, they came to Jesus and they confronted him. And an argument starts. And Jesus, what authority do you have to do this? You know, why is it that you think that you can do these things? Heal people on the Sabbath? Try to tell us what to do with this adulterous woman? And Jesus, like he does so often in the Gospels, puts himself on trial. I so often like to use that analogy of what Jesus Christ was doing those 3 years of ministry as he was going around getting people's attention with these miracles, and then he puts his deity on trial constantly. They ask him, you say you're God, you claim to be God, now prove it. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus puts himself on trial as the Son of God and calls witnesses to the fact that he is the Son of God. And in John chapter 8, you know who he brings to the witness stand? His Father. And he proclaims to those guys, I serve my Father. The works that I am doing, as I'm going around and as I am healing people on the Sabbath day, as I'm going around preaching the Word of God, the reason that I'm doing that is because I'm doing exactly what my Father told me to do. And if I'm here today to stand before you and say, I have some authority in this matter, and I am who I claim to be, I'd like to call to the stand my Father. Because he will testify that the things that I do are exactly me being obedient to him. And these guys go on to claim that, well, they follow their father, Abraham. Jesus says, I serve my Father, but you serve your father, the devil. And he is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. You've heard those passages of Scripture before. Hopefully we kind of put some of that in context, and so we can think about Jesus' mission as he was going around ministering to the lost, performing these miracles, praying, sharing the Word of God, doing all this stuff. He was being obedient to his Father, doing whatever his Father would ask. And so on that day, when he was put on trial, who does he call to the stand but his Father? Now, those of us who've been around a while, and if we were to say, we need to be put on trial for our obedience and the fact that we were a good and obedient child, and you were to bring somebody up on to the courtroom, and were you good and were you obedient, would the first person that you'd want to come to the witness stand on the fact of your obedience be your father? Don't you think he could probably tell you all the bad things and all the times that you were disobedient if he was called to the witness stand? Probably. He knows you better than anybody else, right? But for a child to be obedient, the process of hearing, understanding, and positively responding. Hearing, understanding, and positively responding. Being obedient. Are we obedient? Do we obey in all things? I think about these children, the children that are here. When the Bible asks you to be obedient, do you hear what your parents have said? Do you understand? And do you positively respond? And for those of us who've lived this life, if someone were called to the witness stand to talk about our obedience, and it was our Father, what would he have to say? So we move forward in our life, still trying to be obedient to the Word of God. Are we hearing it, understanding it, and positively responding to it? Barb read a verse that I was going to use tonight, today. It's fine, Barb. It's fine. I'm so glad you used it. Coming from the book of 1 Samuel, when Saul has not quite listened to God's response. Did he obey in his mind? In his mind, at that time, he thought he had obeyed. He had partially obeyed. But did he completely hear what God had said? Did he understand what God had said and positively and completely responded in the way that he should? No. As he brought King Agag back, and he didn't completely wipe out the Amalekites like God had told him to do. When Samuel confronts him and he says, "What is this that I hear? The bleating of sheep. And what is this that you've brought back with you?" And Samuel, like Barb said, and she read this evening, to obey is better than sacrifice. And what does it go on? It goes on to say, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." And obedience is so important. When God has asked us to do something, we don't half-heartedly obey. We obey with all of our hearts. And that's what true obedience looks like. And when he came to this earth, and God the Father in heaven gave Jesus Christ a job to do, do you think that Jesus Christ half-heartedly obeyed his Father? No. He obeyed his Father in everything. And he was tempted to not obey. Tempted in all ways like we are. Yet without sin, he was obedient to the will of his Father. And one day, he will stand on trial for that. Was he obedient to his Father? And the answer, when his Father stands up before everyone, I mean, the Father's already testified that Jesus Christ was completely obedient. Obedient unto the point of death. So fathers, you want to be a good husband? You have an example. Jesus Christ. Wives, you want to be a good mother, a good wife? You have an example. Jesus Christ. Children, parents, you want to be good in those relationships? You have an example. Jesus Christ. And we can look around and we can look at positive examples of fathers, of husbands, of wives who have been a model for us. But they're just following the model of Jesus Christ and what he has done. So this week, we have those relationships that we have. We have the wife's relationship to the husband's relationship to the wife, the child's relationship to their father, and the father's relationship to the children. And I'm running out of time, but next week I'm going to touch on the father's relationship to children, and the slave's relationship to their master. So let's close in prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ and how he is an example of a good father, a good husband, and you set that example of how we ought to obey, how we ought to submit, how we ought to love. And Lord, I pray that as we live our lives in the relationships that you have given to us, that you might help us to come for you for wisdom on how we ought to engage in these relationships, and that you might help us to live daily for you. I thank you so much for everything that you have done and for everything that you've meant to all of us. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.